You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. I know I've told this story before, but this is absolutely true, I swear to God. I used to take dance and even ballet.
You told me this last time.
And I starred as Fritz, the brother, in The Nutcracker on stage with actually some pretty high-end dancers who were playing the lead roles.
This is legit.
It was kind of a big deal at the time. Yeah, it was sure. Like, whoa, wow, this is actually like a world-famous dancers playing like the main roles. I was just some schmuck kid who was on stage for all of 3-4 minutes, but still. I actually had a name-charactered role.
It wasn't boy.
No, it wasn't boy. It wasn't like soldier, of which there were many. But if you've never seen The Nutcracker, of course, it's Tchaikovsky's ballet adaptation, or I'm sorry, musical, like opera, adaptation of the original. But a lot of people don't realize this. E.T.A. Hoffman's short story called The Nutcracker and the Mouse King. A lot of people don't realize it's actually based on a book. It's beautiful.
It's a great ballet. The only one I've probably seen all the way through in my life.
It's a great ballet, even if you just listen to the music.
Because the music by itself is just so
super
so captivating.
You've heard the songs from The Nutcracker. Even if you don't think you have.
Just The Nutcracker Suite.
You've heard some of it, for sure. It's no big surprise that Disney wants in. Already there's some fatigue of, Disney, you've already done this. So they're like, you know what we haven't done? We haven't done a Disney-ish take on The Nutcracker. What's Anne Hathaway doing? She is unavailable. All right, crank up the Anne Hathaway machine again, and let's knock out another one.
She's not unavailable. She's watching that phone ring. She's purposely missing that call.
It's like, well, we've got Mackenzie Foy, who is the latest one off the conveyor belt.
I love Mackenzie Foy, though.
I think she's very talented, generally speaking.
Yeah.
It's her and the girl from Anna and the Apocalypse, where I'm just like, seriously, this is the Anne Hathaway clone machine running.
She's so, like, her face and her eyes are so expressive, though.
Well, that's just it. They found this perfect combination. That beautiful jet black hair.
What else was she in?
Porcelain skin and the anime eyes.
Interstellar? Was it Interstellar?
Twilight.
Oh.
Everybody was in Twilight.
Yeah.
True. I'm not going to blame her for that.
Yeah, even good people were in Twilight, Chris.
And then you got Keira Knightley in here the whole time going, looking at Mackenzie Foy like, I was you just a few years ago.
Now, too much meat on her bones to be young Keira Knightley.
All right, so this is not... Any more so than the ballet is really a strict adaptation of the original short story, this is neither an adaptation strictly of the short story or the ballet. It is a new take on the story.
By way of Narnia and the Tim Burton Alice in Wonderland.
My God, this is so Tim Burton-ish.
I mean, yes, at points, but I never got that weird sort of like Tim Burton always has this sort of like morbid cutesy take, and this didn't really have that as much.
Kind of wishing it was
actually,
more morbid
a few times. It felt like, for me, I saw shades of that horrible remake he did.
Sweeney Todd?
No, Chocolate Factory.
Chocolate Factory.
Yeah, that reminded me of a little bit of that, especially in the factory aspect.
I will say there's a point where they go into the fourth realm, because it's the Nutcracker in the four realms, that I was like, it's Silent Hill.
Oh, my God. But then when those little clowns come out, that's like right out of American Horror Story, I swear to God.
Well, the story here is Mackenzie Foy plays Clara, who in all versions – well, no, not all versions. The original short story, she was named Maria, not Clara.
I guess the mother is what it's supposed to be.
Yeah, exactly. And so she is the – she has a dad who's still alive, but her mom has just died relatively recently. Matthew McFadden plays her dad, and she's got like a sister and a brother named Fritz, who, you know,
Fritz.
I may have mentioned previously. And she's very sad, and like the dad's like, well, before your mother died, she had these presents that she wanted you all to have, and she gets this ornate egg that has some sort of weird lock on it. And she's like, well, good does this do me? Stupid mom. Stupid dead mom. I hate you. I hate you, mom.
She's like, I already have the cash, but okay.
But dad's like, you know what? You got to calm down because we got to go to this Christmas party and it's kind of a big deal. And to be fair, it really is. It's like for like Victorian times, this is the bomb ass Christmas party.
Don't you love that is their real world? That is this movie's real world. That could be in any other movie. That'd be the fantasy.
Yeah, a clockwork, you know, place that even makes, you know, us going to some fancy dinner seem, you know, posery.
Yeah, it's like you're complaining about going there?
So okay. It's a super elaborate ball with lots of people dancing and lots of clockwork stuff going on, right. Like very steampunk in its way in the background, but lots of also stuff that are just sort of placement of images from the Nutcracker mythos sprinkled throughout it. But she's not interested in all that. She doesn't want to do what her dad tells her, which is like, go and be, you have to pretend to be happy. You have to talk to people. You have to dance. She's like, I want to go find my godfather and ask him about this egg because she apparently found his logo. Apparently, I guess he's a steampunk clockwork manufacturer dude.
Yeah. Or his magical black man, Morgan Freeman.
Magical black man for Morgan Freeman, who's like, and says a lot of like very abstract and not very clear things about what's going on with the egg. But it ends up with like okay, it's gift time, which by the way, is like gotta be the coolest
that thing. That really is. Like if I get my gifts that way.
Though I will say it's like clearly everybody was partying all around this house. How did they get the strings all over?
There's a big Christmas tree in the center courtyard and all of them have these ropes coming off them of different colors that have tags on them that say a name. So, and what you do is you follow the strings till it leads to your present. Well, she follows her string until it leads to a dark corridor, which turns into a weird, like,
tree.
Weird wood corridor. And she comes out the other side, and yeah, she's in fucking Narnia.
Yeah. Which she's concerned about for all of 2 seconds. She's like, what? Where am I? I should follow this string some more.
She follows the string to the key, which she has been looking for said egg. Yay, I get the key. But immediately, a CG mouse pops up and grabs it. And so she runs on a chase through it, encountering very shortly after that the captain, who is... and I'm looking here in the cast. I'm not seeing...
He's there. Jaden.
Fawora Knight, who later they start calling the Nutcracker all of a sudden, even though previously he was just the captain. I'm not sure. And then even later is Philip, so I'm not sure what any of that was all about.
Captain Philip Nutcracker.
But he's like, oh, you can't follow that mouse over the bridge. That's the fourth realm, and that's bad shit over there. That's like, they have not gentrified it, is all I'm saying.
Yeah. There's no Starbucks there. You can't go there.
Yeah. And she's like, well, I'm going because I'm Clara... whatever her last name is. Like, Claire, whatever your last name is, your mother was the queen. You are a princess. She's like, you people are crazy, but if you're going to come with me to help find this mouse...
Fuck it, you're going to give me my key. Let's do it.
So she quickly finds out that this shit is all fucked up over there in the fourth realm, and there's mice that turn into giant... Like Voltron
golems,
mice.
Yeah, Voltron golems.
That really made me want to watch Willard, to be honest with you.
And she's like, I'm out of here, Brick. So she goes to the castle where everyone's like, oh my god, it's the princess! Where's your mom? She's like, well, she's dead, and I don't want to talk to you about it.
Not to be a bummer, but...
And she meets, like, Keira Knightley is a sugar plum fairy, Eugenio Derbez is the flower realm king, and of course Richard E. Grant's got to be in here somewhere, so he is the snow realm king.
Because he's still on Earth.
Yeah, given very little for them to do in this film, to be honest.
But what little they do badly.
Yeah.
And then they focus on Keira Knightley doing the weirdest accent I think she's done.
I think she's a British Betty Boop.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
Who's sent the baby voice.
And she's like, okay, well, this is all fine, and thanks for all the celebration and shit, but I got to get that key. And she's like, oh, a key? Well, we need a key, too, because it turns out all of these creatures in the kingdom were created by a giant Goldfinger laser that, like, her mom built when she used to be queen there that turns toys into living things.
I like to think of it as an inverse Shrinky Dink.
Yeah, right?
There you go. Yeah.
And they're like, oh, we need it because in the fourth realm, the evil of, like, leader of the fourth realm, Mother Ginger, played by Helen Mirren, well, she's stirring up all kinds of shit. She's trying to destroy all the kingdoms, so we need to be able to turn these toys into soldiers to defend ourselves. So she's like, all right, so mission, go take care of that. Now, as far as I'm going to tell you the plot, such as it is, there are a lot of surprise, not really a surprise, things that happen.
Oh, yeah. It was like, well, this is going to turn in, like, 2 seconds, right? Okay. Oh, look, it turned. Go figure.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's weird that this plot is so utterly banal and predictable, and it acts like you should be so shocked when things happen. And eventually I was like, you know what? This was made for the nichiest crowd I think that I've ever seen. It's made for 3 to 8 year old girls whose mothers have died. Seriously. I mean, like, it's like there's a point towards the end of the movie where they're just battering you about the head with the messages of like, hey, I know your mother's dead. Don't be a fucking little bitch.
You're going to be okay. Come on.
Just taking it out of context, there's a great scene that I mentioned to Frank as we walked out. We're at the end. Morgan Freeman goes, you know, your mother's best invention, she always said, was you. I'm like, she has two other kids. Yeah, exactly. You're the middle child. What kind of message did they send to your children?
Don't tell your siblings that
God
you
forbid,
said that.
Twins watch this movie.
I mean, I will say, one point that, I mean, it's beautiful, and it's beautiful because it's the classic, is there's literally ballet exposition in this movie.
But that the high point of the whole film.
It really is. Yeah,
there's a sequence where they're like, oh, well, we got to credit the original, but the ballet. So the movie stops, so she can go, well, this is the story of what's going on in the kingdom, where they just pretty much put on the Nutcracker suite, but with really full-on Disney magic, where it's like, wow, this is the first moment in this movie where I'm like, I actually feel like I'm watching
it. It has
Disney
like almost like a Fantasia sort of feel to it, but with the
story of your mother through interpreted that.
Yeah.
I was in at that point. I was cool. I hope
they had me a little bit.
I hope the rest of the movie goes on like this.
But it doesn't. I mean, it falls back down, and it's just like, I mean, this is the production design is and this movie is like designed with an inch of its life, and it's so gaudy and tacky. And
I mean, there are points where there's some genuinely creative stuff in the design here, though. Yeah, I mean, like I did in fact enjoy it from a design perspective to some degree. It kept doing things where I was like, well, that's kind of cool. Well, that's kind of cool. But none of them had anything to do with the storytelling. It was like,
it was window dressing.
It was like the people on the side who aren't directly connected with this film, which, by the way, is originally Joe Johnston with the last film that he directed before he retired. And then they needed to do 32 days of massive reshoots.
Oh, that's what happened.
And they called in Lassie Hallström, both of which are terrific directors.
No, exactly. But you see that Joe Johnston influence with the soldiers in the mine.
But regardless, it clearly wasn't them who was doing the stuff that I actually liked in this. I was like, little things around the side, ideas of things. Like, I like the whole mouse, Voltron mice thing, you know, like they build
these. That alien scene with the mice where they're just picking people off for a little bit.
But this is a movie by committee. You can see that Disney had a checklist of, like, we need to have one of these in here at some point. We need to make sure that, like, this character does this. And we may make sure that we've thrown some dancing or something. You know, and this is not an organic sort of...
I can't imagine that the idea for this movie didn't start with Disney going, oh, we don't have anything for the winter Christmas block this year. What can we do? Hey, look!
Except they do. They have fucking Mary Poppins.
Yeah.
Which I will probably be good.
Yes.
So they needed something that was more just easy, I guess. I don't know.
That was free for the rights and everyone knows what it is.
I will say the other big problem I had this movie is, you know, as we said earlier, the music of the Nutcracker is beautiful. It is like, and they remix it in some places, but they mix it well, I think. Mm-hmm. But the points where they're not using Nutcracker music, it feels like the worst versions of the Doctor Who Christmas special.
Right. What was there's a moment where it has to do with the music box she's got that's playing a song that is not from the Nutcracker. And I was like, what is that song? Because it sounds familiar. Please don't tell me that it's going to be over the end credits and it's like Radiohead or some shit. But I was like, this is the song your mother and I danced to for the first time. I was like, yawn.
And they made that into another Nutcracker song as they danced in the ballroom.
Even with the Nutcracker music, it starts and then it just as suddenly cuts off. It's like they use the leitmotifs from various Nutcracker themes to like be designate of different areas or people in the film. And there are moments where it's cool, but overall I'm just kind of like, I just kind of want to hear the whole fucking piece. It's really great.
It makes you like yearn for a genuine, you know, Nutcracker version.
Right.
You know,
like if you wanted to do this, why not just adapt the ballet
in a
cinematic form, but make it a ballet in cinematic form.
But none of the versions have been able to, I mean, I'm the Macaulay Culkin generation of that Nutcracker. And when, you know, that one was, that's another movie that was made by committee.
Martin
Thomas dad
was telling me he had to watch when his girls were growing up the Barbie Nutcracker.
No,
and he said that was 10 times better than this.
Oh, God.
He said but he did admit, I've seen all the Barbie films. They're all terrible, but surprisingly, that one's actually not bad.
Probably because it actually sticks to the original plot.
Right? I guess. I don't know. He didn't get that specific, and I did not ask.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I will say another huge problem I have with this movie is the twist or the turn that they try to put in there
is
purely because the characters don't act in a way that makes sense to try to make their point or try to explain things. You know, we don't want to spoil it, but I will say there's a point where it's just like, yeah, you're coming on way too strong in the opposite direction of what you're trying to convey to this person. Of course they're not going to listen to you. Like, what were you thinking?
It's a ridiculously unbelievable twist, even with these unbelievable characters, that's just like, okay, nothing we've seen in this character so far would say this is where you would expect them to go. It's only there to beat you over the head yet again to the point, stop being a little bitch, we know your mom is dead, it doesn't mean you have to be an asshole to everyone.
I mean, this is essentially where the Wild Things are.
Yeah. In
a lot of ways.
Yeah,
know?
But that had that sort of... That was trying to do the same thing weekly, but with an indie aesthetic. And this is trying to do it through the Disney aesthetic.
I know, but that one actually hit home, whereas this one is sort of like just so base.
Well, that one also had good performances.
That
one also had good performances.
That one did. Well,
it did, but
that one did.
Didn't work for me either, though.
That was my favorite film of the year.
Was it?
I will take you on. I don't care.
You're like, I will fight you.
Yeah, that was the year that Nine came out, too, so I was in heaven.
I was kind of disappointed because really I really wanted this to be good. I love The Nutcracker. I tend to be like I have a soft spot for the big Disney all the feels movies.
Sure.
Uh-huh. Lasse Alstrom and Joe Johnston. Holy shit.
I know. I
I'm like, how
on paper, this could not fail.
How could this be as bad as it ended up? It just did. Like you said, it's movie by committee. But Ben, what are your final thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, we kind of said it all. It's like the music, at best, cribs the good parts of the Nutcracker and then drops them off without a thought. The performances are weak at best. I mean, you have Keira Knightley here as a lead character, and she's, I think, a very good actress. But here it's like, let me just talk like this. Oh, your mother was so wonderful. It's like, please stop. Just...
You're giving her a deeper voice than she actually...
Probably. Yeah. I can't go that high anymore, you know. Honestly, this movie...
Would it help if you go ahead and do it. I'll do the music. Dun, 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 dun,
dun. And this is already better than the movie itself.
I'm more entertained now than I was during the movie.
Honestly, there's moments that are okay. There's moments that are almost creative and enjoyable, like Chris said, but... For the most part, you'll be bored unless you're like a 3-year-old who, you know, takes ballet, you know, who's heard the Nutcracker songs.
Who's never seen a better movie in their life.
You're not going to really care for this, or you shouldn't, at least. I'm going to give this 3 out of 10 random kingdoms that we'll still talk about.
What about you, Frank?
You know, I said to Ben shortly after the movie ended, you know, this is only an hour and a half long. It felt like we were just like...
Hour and 40 minutes.
This is like never ending, and it's just...
Because it's boring.
It's very boring. There's no story here. There's nothing wholly original. There's not even enough of the original text to make it call it really an adaptation. What there is just heaps and heaps and heaps of over-the-top... I think the gayest man in the world would call this movie over-the-top production design. Seriously. It was so gaudy. It was making me dizzy.
Now, you're allowed to say that. I'm not. It's not fair. I wanted to say that.
Well, there you go. You're welcome. It made me so dizzy. It was, and I hate when a movie tries to distract you with visuals when it really has nothing else going on. The performances are horrible because the characters are horrible. You know, they're written as, you know, only meaning to exist in that moment.
Can I say how bored Helen Mirren looks in this entire...
Yeah.
Oh, God,
And, you know, I thought she was bored in Inkheart.
Right.
But no, I mean, this is just like, man...
Yeah, she just signed the check, and that's about it.
And on an honest note, I'm really sad because Honey, I Shrunk the Kids and The Rocketeer were two of my favorite movies when I was a kid. Like, I was, you know, those are the movies that got me excited about movies. And so I was excited about this, about seeing Joe Johnston, you know, on... Whatever. This was just a shame. It's a cash grab. It's, it's a ripoff. I'm sorry. I'm going to give this 5 out of 10 helium-voiced Keira Knightley's.
So there's this owl flying around through this whole fucking movie that seems to serve no real purpose. You keep waiting for him to be more important somehow, or like
he's
maybe
laughing at all the actors.
Like, I thought of from one point they'd be like, oh, Morgan Freeman can turn into the owl, but no, that's not a thing. He's there for no. It's like. literally, he's like, I'm just waiting for the next Harry
There's
Potter.
There's one half.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, I'm have a scene where he's a Deus Ex Machina just to distract her, to get her to go up on a balcony at one point.
Right.
Not to do anything to move the plot, just to show more of their pretty landscape they tried to generate.
Right. He flies off and throws out some bon mots on his way out. You're a wizard now, Clary!
Oh, God.
He is waiting for the next, like, Fantastic Beast
Give
movie,
a hoot, yeah. don't pollute. Oh, God. I kept laughing at this. The thing is that kept me going through this is like, fortunately, we were an all but empty audience because it was, I saw just the press screening with Jess Press. So I'm sitting next to Martin, and after a while, we just start exchanging jokes. We're just like, we're the only way we're going to get through this is if we can make fun of it along the way. It's one of those movies that was bad to that level.
I will say ours was pretty empty too for 7 p.m.
But I nonetheless I will say like you're saying it's so tacky and I agree with you but there were points I thought were genuinely creative. I did like hearing the music. That Christmas party is the bomb, yo. I would love to get every present
I've ever get for the rest of my life in that method.
That was kind of cool.
Yeah,
assuming it's in that house. There are parts I enjoyed, but largely visually. Overall though, this is a stinker, man. This is like I will turn my nose up at people who try to defend this one, quite frankly.
Can we say that the end credits are genuinely lovely?
Yeah.
With the dance.
I took off the moment.
Oh, okay. And the last, and that song that they're hoping to submit probably for the Oscar.
But
anyways.
this is an unfortunate real mess, and I give it 2.5 out of 10 completely unexplained Helen Mirren facial cracks. What was that all about?
It's kind of like a nod Death Becomes Her maybe or something. I don't know.
It's like, wait, she's got these big cracks. And it's like, oh, that's just so she
looks so evil. Obvious makeup. Yeah,
it was like really bad makeup. I was like, wow, what are you guys doing?
At the end, it's like, prepare, she's a doll. Just like paint over it.
I guess.